Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you this morning.
How are you on this rainy day, Dr. Paul?
We had another rainy day in Texas, exactly. But fine. Let's get some sunshine. Yeah. Except we'll get some sunshine on the budget, but it's not good news because in the budget it's just raining cats and dogs and money being spent. Exactly. So we're going to concentrate on the intelligent budget. And guess what? You never would have guessed, I bet, that it went up significantly. And that the fiscal conservatives are now in charge in Washington, and they want safety and security and protecting the American people. So they increased it another 11%, the intel budget, and that's both domestic and the military. But just to get a grasp of this, you know, we were spending in the dollars in 2001 at $40 billion. Mm-hmm. And in real dollars, if you measure it constantly, we're now more than twice that much.
Wow.
But you know, for some reason, I don't feel safer. You know, they had one thing that was, it was called the foreign national intelligence, and they changed it to domestic. They changed the name, but domestic is 60 something, and it's designed to protect us. But I don't sense that I'm protected. I sense that this whole thing since 9/11 is we've been made less safe, less secure, less privacy, less liberty, and they spend more and more money. But Trump has not been bashful. And it's significantly increased, and this is we're talking about last year's budget that just finished, but they'll work on the next, and nobody can vote against it, and nobody is even allowed to know exactly where it goes. Even if you go and read, go to the secret room in Congress and look at what it is, you know, I've tried that, but I still, you know, can't figure out where it goes because they don't have to. So I think it's totally unconstitutional, the activities that the CIA and all these intel agencies do, but it's unconstitutional because it's not telling us where the appropriations are going. You know, the Constitution says it's supposed to be no money spent unless the appropriations are out there. Well, they have a number there and say, oh, this is going to do intelligence and protect your freedoms. And just as a starter, to get our audience alert to being, you know, cautious about being overly confident about these intelligence agents, 70% of all this money goes to private corporations in the military-industrial complex because they're all contractors, and they're the ones who are going to gather up information to make us safe. They gather information to make us scared, yeah. And that, to me, is a tragedy.
Yeah, that's such a good point. You know, I did intelligence for you when you were on the Hill. And of course, I could never see the budget because I didn't have a security clearance at the time. So I had no idea. I couldn't advise you except vote no what was in it. But you're right. You know, they say that the black budget, the intelligence budget, is at its highest publicly known level ever. This is the biggest jump in 10 years, the biggest jump in a decade. If you just take the Pentagon intel spending, it rose nearly 18%. That's a good return on investment, of course, if you're a big corporation, one of those who gets 70% of the budget. I don't think, and that's such a good point, Dr. Paul, because I don't think a lot of Americans know that. When they think intelligence, they probably think maybe military guys, maybe CIA guys in front of a screen. You know, these are private corporations, Booz Allen Hamilton, all of these big corporations, they're the ones getting the money.
You know, close to this is another significant figure that has gone up. It's not called intel, but it really is. And that is the agencies of our government. There are 67 agencies of our government right now where the participants, the bureaucrats in these agencies, carry guns. And, the American people, ownership of guns is always being challenged. But no, we keep giving them to the bureaucrats. There's over 200,000 bureaucrats at a federal level. And whoever decided that there should be a national police force. Well, what is that if it isn't a police force?
Yeah.
But can you imagine all these agencies of government, they're all this is under the Department of Homeland Security, and they're going to get a lot of information, and it's always going to be Believe me, I think it's to scare people. So there, you only need to say two words in Washington, and you don't get three people to vote against national security. If it's for national security, but it's only for the security of the, you know, the deep state people, the banking and the military industrial complex and the war profiteers. They're the ones who gain the security, because when the CIA spends some of this money, they tend to do dumb things and dangerous things, and they tend to make enemies for us. And even the FBI, even the CIA admitted, and that's where I first picked up the term when you started talking to, you know, about blowback, that there can be consequences of this. So all this activity, nobody should be felt safer and more secure and think that it's a good investment to be spending this type of money for intelligence gathering.
And, you know, if you remember back when they were creating the Department of Homeland Security, I was working for you on the Hill as well. And remember, you were a no vote. And they kept saying, oh, Ron, this is going to streamline things. It's going to end up costing less. Well, a lot of that intel stuff is now going into Homeland Security and raising the whole level of everything, right?
Right. And there's always more. That was the first thing. We were spending in one of $40 billion. And so they said we have to spend a lot more because the 40 didn't make us safe. So we spend a lot more, and I think we're less safe. But since 01, you can't really find a figure on how much we've actually spent on intelligence gathering. But I think it's very, very safe to say it's $1 trillion plus.
Yeah.
But you can't find it. You know, there's so many different agencies when you think about state departments and the military budget and all this activity going on. So it's a lot of money, and the tragedy is it costs a lot of money. That's a cost to us. It runs up our deficit, and we are not much safer. We're not safer. We're more in danger, and we have to prepare for the next attack. But there's a constant attack. Just look at the attacks on what we're doing overseas. Still, how many countries are we in? You know, but the CIA is even the countries we don't know. Remember a couple months ago, a year ago, when people said, you know, and even we were a little bit surprised. Oh, we're in umpteen countries in Africa. We thought we were in three or four. We're all over the place. And the members of Congress said, oh, I didn't know we were over there. People don't know how much we're involved because government is secret. I frequently would compare the secrecy of the CIA versus the secrecy of the Federal Reserve. And they're both very, very important and very, very big. It's hard to say. I think they're one and the two. They're one and the same. They're the same thing because, you know, the funding secretly can come from the Federal Reserve. Look at how many trillions of dollars they spend in the bailout. Nobody knows where they go. Who did they prop up? Who did they bail out? Which company did they help? Which foreign government did we bail out? And it's all because we are still powerful. We still have the almighty dollar. And then it turns into secrecy. That's why this is out of control. You know, the effectiveness and the benefits that we have from a sitting Congress, I think, is zero because they have no idea what's happening and they have no control of it. And unless they dealt with the whole system of cutting taxes and having sound money and concentrating on liberty, nothing is going to happen because national security is at stake. We need our safety, and you cannot challenge that.
Yeah, and we have a graphic just to demonstrate the increase in intelligence spending, and look at that big jump from 17 to 18. That is just massive. And the thing that's irritating, Dr. Paul, is you have a lot of Trump defenders and supporters saying, well, he's got to fight the deep state. He's fighting the deep state. He's battling the deep state. It does not get any more deep state than the intelligence budget. Because, and we've already pointed out, 70% goes to contractors. What do these big contractors do? They spend a lot of money propping up think tanks in the Beltway. They spend a lot of money giving it to things like the Atlantic Council and different think tanks. And what do those think tanks do? They write papers about how many more threats there are. You know, so they're funding this cycle. More threats, more money to the think tanks to think up new threats. And it's on and on it goes. And it's an attack on our liberty financially, and it's an attack on our personal liberty with them spying on us.
Well, you know, there was a lot of attention given to the torture programs under Bush. And supposedly that's all been cleaned up. They closed down one prison, but we still have Guantanamo. But I personally don't believe we've quit doing that. I think they've become more secretive. The CIA, that's their business, you know, is to go out and get information. But, you know, if we had somebody concentrating that and had some evidence, if they use something, some evidence maybe that Ed Snowden or somebody gave us, and take it to the courts, I don't think there's any real hope that our Supreme Court would help us out. And they say, oh, what do you mean, Ron? We have it now. The conservatives have it. And that's probably that's a problem, because they are not going to protect our civil liberties. They are not going to. There's probably about one judge in there. Clarence Thomas is probably the one I'd have the most hope for that would look at it from a libertarian viewpoint and that some of these activities shouldn't occur. But the odds of this activity with the CIA, I think, are very great that it's still going on.
And you're right, we have no allies because, you know, we're trashing Trump, and rightly so. You don't drain the swamp by, you know, pouring water into it. But Congress is in on it, too. In fact, for this past year, Congress appropriated even more money than Trump requested for Intel, you know. He asked for something, they said, oh, you can have it. Here, have some more, take some more. So Congress is definitely not on our side. We got to have a conservative Congress to to be fiscally responsible. No, that's not the case at all.
No, and I think that it's a strategic problem rather than a technical problem. It isn't the management. You don't get a new speaker and think that's going to change things. And it looks like just getting and replacing people in the executive branch isn't the answer either. I think it's very strategic, very philosophic. It's what the people are thinking, what they expect from their government. And I think that the system we have is so entrenched that we're not going to nibble away and claw our way back to a free society or even anything close to being related to a free society. Because I think this thing will come down. People are looking more now at the financial situation and the whole system here of the reason why we have to spend so much money on the CIA in combination with all our corporations. That's not going to play well with so many countries. I mean, we've been spending a lot of time talking about Yemen. Hardly anybody knew about Yemen. Yeah. And yet, even though with Khashoggi being killed and Saudi getting bad reputation, they're not backing off. Matter of fact, they're sending more troops in Yemen. So this is happening. I think it has to come down. But the people have to make a decision of what they want. Right now, they're clawing away to see who can tell the biggest lies and who can get the biggest hunk of this money that does go in there, see who can get the power and the prestige and the profits for now. And I think that's temporary. But so few people have the specific goal of saying what we want is to be a free people and believing sincerely that with the principles of liberty, and the founders believe this, if you release creative energy, you don't just build this huge government and saying, well, all the benefits come from the fact that we have the power to tax. And then the good people that go to Washington, they'll know what to do with the money, but they have to have the power to tax. And if they can't collect enough money, give them the power to print it, and everything is going to be okay, and there will be no poverty and no attack on liberty, and there will be peace in the world. That's completely wrong, and there has to be a reversal in the understanding of what a free country is all about and what the purpose of government ought to be. And it isn't that I think you and I and a few others have looked at it and invented this. It's something that's been around for thousands of years, what liberty is all upon, certainly in our country, a couple hundred years that we've had this understanding of what personal liberty is all about. But there is a total absence of that. And sometimes when the people come along and they talk like we do, they end up really not quite doing it. You know, if you put the Republicans in general in that category, yeah, they really want to back off. And they're part of this budgetary stuff. They're part of the, the militarism and the military industrial complex, all this spending and the welfareism. It's all part of that. So we have a long way to go, but we have to realize that the opportunity is there. There are some people listening. if we can get around a little bit of kinks we have in getting our information out over the internet, I still have this belief when people hear the message and understand it and look at what's happening, you know, and what has happened in the last 100 years, the 20th century, with the socialist, fascist, you know, dictatorship. Why would anybody want to do that? And yet we're just struggling to get our message out.
Exactly. And like Dr. Paul says, this is a scam. This is a transfer, a massive transfer of wealth from the rest of us who have to work for a living to a well-connected elite in Washington. They sell us fear. They steal our money. They destroy our currency. They're getting wealthy. They don't keep us free. They view us as the victims. We're the terrorists. We have to be spied on. So it is a big scam until we let go of those blinders and understand that the national security state doesn't keep us free. It just steals our money. Once we realize that, Dr. Paul, I think we're going to be on the road to recovery.
There you go. And we'll keep plugging away. And I don't think the philosophy of liberty is complex. Rights are individual. And if you think of it as a collective right, and if you think of it as a collectivity, you know, a group of people going to Washington, taking care of everybody else, and they work to promote society, then we're in big trouble. No, we have to release the creative energy from an individual. And that is when I think prosperity comes. But that principle has to be understood. It sits there in the Constitution, not perfectly written. But that isn't the problem, that it isn't there. It's the problem is that people don't read it, they don't understand it, they don't care about it. And the other problem that we can't ignore is where most people get their information as one is growing up, and that is from the government-run schools and the government-controlled media. And now, unfortunately, the government's being in bed with social media. So there is the job. But truth has an advantage. Truth does win out when the people hear it. So let's keep plugging away of getting the truth out and seeing what we can do to bring back sanity to our system of government. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.